Welcome to the June 2010 edition of A Word Between Friends, brought to you by Gospel Gazette Online. I am Tim Childs, and I'm the host and producer of this monthly audio feature. Friend, as you may well know, the antediluvian period of Bible history is recorded for our benefit in the book of Genesis, chapters 1 through 8. The word antediluvian, well, sounds a bit complex, but it simply means before the flood. The early chapters of Genesis are far more than mere material for the making of great children's stories. In fact, they lay the groundwork for the remainder of the chapters and books of the Bible, written by about 40 different writers over some 1,600 years. It's not surprising, then, that these same early chapters of Genesis lay a solid foundation for our faith as God-following Christian people. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, was of widespread use in the kingdom of heaven. Paul wrote several books that are included in the canon of New Testament scripture. He was just one of the 40 writers used by God in this special way. My friend, at times, God has directed the minds of men, women, and young people to even the distant past, that they might learn from such as the writings of the prophets, from certain events that have occurred, or perhaps some detail in the life of a given individual or family who lived in antiquity. The faithful servant of God, Paul, penned Romans 15:4, where the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." The Old Testament Scriptures in general, and the book of Genesis in particular, have been preserved by God, and we see that they serve an important function in helping us learn so many vital truths. These help us shape and complete the puzzle of our existence in this vast universe. To Genesis, then, we go to learn the truth about human origin and why we were created male and female, rather than all being of the same sex. There we find God-given information about the beginning of the universe and all the animate and inanimate objects that are all around us. We are reminded that matter cannot will itself into being from nothing, nor can it predetermine or magically will itself into complex life forms. God is the giver of life. There in Genesis chapter 1, we learn that on the fourth day of creation, God placed the sun, moon, and stars in the heavens. And we learn further the purpose God ordered them to serve. We're able to gather information about the everyday realities that we often take for granted, such as day and night, as well as the seasons of the year. Incidentally, the earth is tilted at 23 degrees, rather than perpendicular. This enables us to experience the four seasons of the year, and further keeps the sun's heat from becoming too concentrated in too small an area during the day. Also, more of the earth is able to be tilled for farming due to the 23-degree tilt. My friend, no, this is not a coincidence. It is not accidental. It was not unplanned. Rather, this is only one of the many demonstrations of God's wisdom and the execution of His mighty power. God's fingerprints are all over us, and they are seen throughout the universe by the unbiased eye. On a different note, as we go to the early chapters of Genesis in chapter 3, we learn about the work of Satan, the enemy of God, who seeks to undermine, destroy, and thwart, to whatever extent he can, the purposes of God. One of the hard realities of life that we try to come to terms with is death. In the early chapters of Genesis, we learn about the origin of one of our greatest enemies. How that death came subsequent to Adam and Eve's sin when they disregarded God's warning and disobeyed Him by partaking of the forbidden fruit in the garden. When the Apostle Paul wrote centuries later about the sentence of death being passed upon all men in Romans 5:12-14, he takes his readers all the way back to Genesis 1-3 and Adam, the first man created by God. In the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 5, we read, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Reading verses 12-14. Additionally, in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus, the Son of God and our Savior, is shown to be the last Adam, who, unlike the first Adam, is a quickening spirit and powerfully enables us to gain the victory of all victories, the victory over sin and death. As with the physical creation of the material universe, in the spiritual recreation, God has a purpose for doing the things that He does. Hear the Apostle John in 1 John 3, 5-8. "And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." God said to the serpent in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The seed of the woman has delivered what is to be, if not already, the fatal wound to the serpent's head. The seed of Abraham, through whom all nations of the earth is blessed, has come and laid down his life for us all. The seed of David is now lifted up and reigning over his eternal kingdom at the Father's right hand. You and I must believe on Him and confess His name now. We must call upon the Lord as we yield ourselves unto Him in obedience of the everlasting gospel. The book of Acts of the Apostles discloses the message of the faith preached and what penitent believers did to have their sins washed away through the blood of Christ. Peter, for instance, told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, unto or for, in order to have your sins washed away, Acts 2:38. Thus they were baptized into the death of Christ, Romans 6:3-4, where His blood was shed. My friend, it has been a joy to spend this time with you. May God bless you in your study and obedience of the truth of Jesus Christ unto eternal life.